Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
USDA projecting net farm income at $179.8 billion this year. That's a 40.7% increase from last year. Now, it is adjusted for inflation, but a 37.2% gain, well above the 20-year average. Net cash farm income better reflecting day-to-day operations, forecast to climb 28.5%. Farm businesses expected to average $127,000 in net cash farm income this year. That's up 12% from last year. 8 of 9 USDA farm resource regions projected to see gains, led by Mississippi through the Heartland region, and they could see declines. Animal ag, though, is forecast stronger. Crop income shows mixed results. And really, the outlook shows improving profitability and financial stability. And as one who stops and thinks the farm economy is not in good shape, remember, quite a bit of this will come because of government payments. Allendale releasing results from their 36th annual nationwide producer yield survey, projecting a U.S. corn crop of 16.63 billion bushels, soybean crop 4.268 billion bushels. Now, it was conducted August 18th through the 29th, and the survey collected producer calculated yields in 25 states, representing 87% of corn, 84% of beans. Rich Nelson is chief strategist with Allendale and says the survey pegged corn yields at 187.52 bushels per acre, beans at 53.28. Smaller producing states modeled using USDA's August 12th estimates, while harvested acreage also based on USDA figures. If yields do approach the projections, farmers may face pressure on crop prices this fall, strong harvest volumes reinforcing the importance of managing storage, marketing plans, and input cost. But non-real estate farm debt showing signs of stress in the first quarter. That's according to commercial bank call reports compiled by the Federal Financial Institutions Examination Council. Now, the data revealed a sharp rise in troubled loans. Charlie Martinez is with the University of Tennessee Institute of Ag. Non-accrual loans jumped 80% from the previous quarter, reaching their highest level since late 2021. Loans that are 30 to 89 days late climbed, 196% increase from the fourth quarter, and 146% higher than 1 year ago. Now, while the short-term loan or late loans often rises seasonally in the first quarter, surge was greater than usual. Row crop producers facing growing financial strain, with the rising delinquent loan levels signaling tighter credit conditions. And U.S. corn use for alcohol and other purposes reaching 506 million bushels last month, up 2%, about 6% lower than 1 year ago. Of the total, 92.2% went to alcohol use, 7.8% to other purposes. So corn used for fuel alcohol, i.e. ethanol, 456 million bushels, 2% increase month over month, but still 6% lower than last year. It's Agriculture Today.
When you raise dryland cotton, one of the only things you control is input costs. Reduce your seed costs by as much as 75% without sacrificing yield potential with BSD 9X cotton from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Perfectly adapted for dryland acres, BSD 9X is large seed and has excellent early season vigor and consistently yields at the top in university trials. Find out about BSD 9X by calling 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We completed our survey of U.S. producers covering 25 different states. This is a two-week-long producer survey.
Rich Nelson is chief strategist with Allendale.
An important note as far as this survey specifically is its accuracy. It is has a very high degree of accuracy. In 11 of the past 15 years, it has been within 2.3 bushels of USDA September crop report. As far as soybeans, in 9 of the past 15 years, it's been within 1.5 bushels of USDA's September crop report. Now, as far as our findings in this crop, in this yield survey, we basically found in this case numbers a little close to USDA's August 12 numbers. So USDA was at 188.8 bushels per acre nationwide on corn last month. Our survey suggested only a minimal decline, only 187.5. For soybeans, the numbers USDA gave us last month were 53.6 bushels an acre. Our survey actually suggests just a minimal change off that, 53.3. So maybe on the October, maybe on the November crop reports, maybe we'll see some light declines there from some of this disease pressure and recent dryness or cold snaps. But the message for our survey was for the September crop report, we may not see USDA give us those yield hits that a lot of us have been hoping for.
Allendale's numbers follow a surprising USDA report in August and pro farmer crop tour numbers.
Not only do we have a normal 1.4, 1.5% annual increase in potential yields, on an annual basis, but there's also a second story with that. What we have found is those of us with weather models who match it up with yields, we have found that crops, especially in the past eight to nine years, have withstood weather hits much better than expected. So, for instance, a lightly negative weather story from 1 year applied to this crop versus 15 years ago. Maybe 15 years ago, it would have given us a 5% yield hit. What we've been seeing, though, that same type of scenario would only impact yield maybe 2 or 3%. So, number one, the annual yield increase is important to mention. Number two, and also very important, is the past 8 to 9 years, we have seen these crops withstand weather hits better than prior years.
But with this huge crop, he says exports have been good, especially for corn.
That's been a very important story for us, because what we're seeing is we're not getting the changing support of price story for corn or soybeans at this point. It is true and also very important to point out that U.S. corn export sales for this new crop period, as a percent of USDA's whole year goal, this is the third best year for sales starting in this early September timeframe in over 20 years. So that's a positive. Now, it's not going to be enough to offset the production increase, but it is slightly positive. Discussion for us as far as moving this crop on soybeans, as we all know, is going to be quite a bit of a concern. It is true. We do have a new crop crush increase. We're going to see annual consumption for crush increase by 70 to 125 million bushels for the new crop period. One thing which is a big concern for us is last year's big buyer for U.S. soybean exports, China. They were 53% of our exports that year. They don't have a single bushel purchased. And we have seen some recent stories showing out that they are already lightly buying from some secondary buyers, which are usually not in the picture. In this case, Uruguay and Argentina. So one light concern we have with this is that the soybean export concern story is still not changed here just yet.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
What is the value of a good bull?
Dr. Mark Johnson is beef breeding specialist, Oklahoma State University.
This is an age-old question that all of us ask regardless of which side of this business we're on. If we're in the purebred sector, we want some idea of what the value of the bulls is we're going to sell. If we're a commercial cow-calf producer, we want some kind of an idea of what we're going to have to spend on those bulls. And so we always begin, as we do this update each year, of how do we define a good bull? And there's a couple of important criteria. A good bull we would define as a bull that sells with a registration paper. On that registration paper, we've got pedigree information, and we've got a full set of genetic values reported on there. Genetic values in the form of EPDs and bioeconomic indices. And in modern animal breeding, we know that there's going to be 20, 25, or 30 of those values. We as producers who are bull buying want to take a look at those to see which of those are most important in terms of adding value to our next calf crop. Second criteria that we use to define a good bull, it's going to be a bull that's passed a breeding soundness evaluation and sells with some sort of a breeding soundness warranty. Now, different purebred breeders are going to put different terms in terms of that breeding soundness warranty. But from the buying side of that equation, we want to make sure that both those boxes are checked before we invest in a bull. So, what is a good bull worth? The age-old adage, the answer to that that I would have learned as an undergraduate here at Oklahoma State University, a good bull's worth the value of about 5 calves that he sires. So what does this translate to? Well, depending on when we intend to market those calves out of a bull, we've got to dig a little deeper to see what their current value actually is. And right now, if we look at the current market report in Oklahoma, we see 5-weight steer calves selling at about $350 a pound, translates to a value of a little over $1,800 per weaned calf. So if we sell calves at weaning, if that's our marketing endpoint in our cow-calf operation, a good bull's worth a little over $9,000 to us right now. What if we retain ownership and turn those into yearlings? Well, right now yearlings have a value of around $250 a pound. A 9-weight yearling translates to a value of about $2,300 a piece. 5 of those calves means that, well, we're looking at $11,000 plus on a bull, if that's our marketing endpoint. What if we retain ownership through all the way through finishing? Right now, 1,500-pound finished cattle bringing about $2 a pound are worth $3,000 a piece. 5 of those means that a good bull's worth about $15,000 to us. Wide range of values, somewhere in there between $9,000 to $15,000. But a takeaway message from this is equally important. The longer that we're going to own the offspring out of a bull, the more value that the genetics of that bull has to us in our operation. The longer we own those calves gives us more opportunity to capture the value of those genetics. The next part of this that we haven't discussed and is harder to put a dollar figure on is what if we're going to retain daughters to turn into our next generation of cows? Well, if we do that, we're then looking at the genetic impact of that bull in the form of the replacement females he sires being with us for about 10 years down the road if we only keep one set of heifers. That further magnifies the economic impact that the value of a good bull has if we think about retained ownership.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We touch every American every day.
Speaking recently at the Farm Progress Show, Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden.
Because if you eat, you've got equities with USDA in one way or another. But of course, our primary focus, as Secretary Rollins emphasizes, are the farmers.
Yeah.
They are the 2% of the population that feed not only the remaining 98% of the United States, but literally we feed the world.
Yeah.
And we have a unique problem that you and I have spent most of our time discussing. For most of world history, the problem for governments has been, how do we feed our people?
Mm-hmm.
For the American government at this unique time in history, it's how do we sell all the excess food that we have?
He talks about modernizing assistance.
Well, our Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, ECAP, is the best example of this.
Yeah.
So far, we have distributed $8 billion with a B dollars to American farmers. Here in the state of Illinois alone, it's nearly $670 million have been distributed to roughly 70,000, 80,000 farmers who have received these payments for losses suffered in the 2024 crop year. And how did that work? It worked exactly the way you would expect a business to operate rather than a government. You filled out a one-page form. And for most people, since the form came pre-populated by your FSA office, filling it out amounted to adding your signature at the bottom. 3 business days after that form was submitted to the FSA office, the monies that Congress appropriated for American farmers were in their bank accounts through direct deposit. 72 hours later, there has never been another payment program in the history of the Department of Agriculture under administration of either policy that has been distributed more quickly. And that is how the Secretary and the President expect us to implement every program, on business time, not on government time. And we're doing it on a rolling basis because we know farmers cannot wait until every I and T are dotted and crossed. When a program is ready, it needs to go out the door now. And when the next program is ready, that will go out the door now without delay.
What about additional assistance?
We're looking forward to, later in September, having an announcement about the second tranche of the supplemental disaster payments. With the first tranche, as you know, covered losses from 23 and 24 that were covered by crop insurance. The second tranche, which will be announced in September, will cover shallow losses, those losses that are not covered by crop insurance. And so these announcements will continue as we continue to roll out these programs that Congress passed, because we know the farmers need the money now.
And he says this administration knows.
Well, it's great to be here in Decatur at the Farm Progress Show. And I just want to assure everyone that the conversations that the Secretary and I have, and soon to be Dick Fordyce has, are going back and affecting policy in Washington, D.C. The reason that I am here today in place of the Secretary is Secretary Rollins is attending a cabinet meeting with the President. And on her agenda is to inform the President of exactly what you have told her and what you have told me about the state of the farm economy. She's got a whole list of charts and graphs, and she's going to be briefing the rest of the Cabinet and the President on what the farm economy is facing this fall as we head into harvest and what we need to do to bridge this year to next year when so many of the elements of the One Big Beautiful Bill kick in, especially better farm safety net through increased crop reference prices and a better insurance program through better subsidization of the insurance rates that farmers pay per acre.
Yeah.
But we got to get to 26, and that's what we're talking right now about.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I tell you what, we're very grateful for the crop that we have today.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers.
It is much better than the last three. And so across most of our area, the producers and the gin managers feel like we're going to have a slightly to significantly better crop than what we had even as of last year. And however, I do need to say that whenever we look at acreage, there are some areas where the acreage is much reduced, either by intention and planting alternative type crops early on, or by hail and wind and storm damage, or both. And so depending on the area that you're in the high plains, there is going to be some differences in terms of what is produced by county on cotton production. But overall, the crop looks good. We're very pleased with it. We're grateful for what we have today.
But expectations have been high with this good-looking crop compared to crops from recent years.
Yes, absolutely. So for the last 3 years, our area has been plagued with drought conditions. And then last year we did get some rainfall, but then it really got hot and dry in August. And so we've also had situations or circumstances where we've actually lost crops to excessive heat and just lack of abundant subsoil moisture to be able to keep up with the evaporative demand that was out there. This year, Mother Nature, even though it's been spotty rainfall, and even though we've had a lot of hailstorms, even some spotty storms recently, overall Mother Nature has been much kinder to us. We've had better rainfall on average, and we also have had, even though we've had some 100-degree days, it's been more of an average-type growing season. And during most of the month of August, the heat unit accumulation was just near ideal, being at about a peak of 95 degrees for a high on most days. And so that was good. And if we actually go back and look at the certified acres that were reported through FSA during the month of August, we've been able to take time to go back in there and pull those numbers up by county and look at that. And we see that the High Plains area certified 3.39 million planted acres. Now that is smaller, a smaller crop than our average planting crops out here, but we all know, just like the last 3 years, it's not necessarily how many acres we plant, it's how many acres that we are able to take all the way to harvest. And as of August 1, the standing acres continue to be 2.9 million acres. So that's only about a 14% abandonment rate as of August 1. Now, we know that number will fluctuate a little bit as we move on closer to harvest. But again, much better than what we've seen the last 3 years.
And when you see the white flower at the top of the crop,
we watch that flower that's closest to the main stem, that can tell us a whole lot about the growth of that particular plant.
Signaling the end. It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
Well, there's a lot of research done in that area, and it's very clear that, you know, if a cow calves, well, let's put it this way, when the condition a cow calves in other words, thin, moderate, or really fleshy, has a really big influence on the postpartum interval and the amount of time it takes for her to start cycling again and then get, you know, get pregnant.
Talking body condition scores for cow-calf operators, Dave Wallman, Oklahoma State Extension Beef Cattle Specialist.
That was the main story. And, you know, you don't want to have a bunch of cows calving or going into calving season in thin condition. We recommend a minimum of a 5 on a cow and a body condition score 6 on a heifer, which would be a little bit, you know, above a moderate condition score. So, and that's because the first calf heifers are going to have a longer postpartum interval if they calve as a 2-year-old. Than a mature cow would have. You know, the longer the postpartum interval, the longer it takes those cows to get bred, the later they'll calve the next season, probably the lighter the weaning weight. So I have a friend, a longtime friend. We have been talking quite a bit about cow efficiency on the phone for quite a few years. His name is Dr. Matt Cherney. He's recently retired, but Dr. Cherney worked for a large ranch in northwest Wyoming. Mm-hmm. In fact, this ranch had about 14,000 cows. So it was a huge operation. And he had the opportunity to look at this relationship of body condition score to reproduction on that big set of cows. And he just has an incredible data set on that topic. And what he found, just like, you know, Dr. Selk had been telling us about for years, what he found was that if the cows that were in a body condition score 3 or less, really thin, had a pregnancy rate in the low 70s. Mm. Okay, cows that averaged about a body condition score 4 had a pregnancy rate year in and year out of around 80, low 80s. Okay, yeah. Cows that calved in body condition score 5. 92-93% pregnancy rate, and then cows that calved in a 6 or greater, about 94-95%. So a little bit better, but not much. You get a really big bump from thin to moderately thin, from a 3 or less to a 4. You get another big bump from a 4 to a moderate condition score to a 5, right? Mm-hmm. About another 10 percentage units. And then from there on, it doesn't really improve that much, a little bit, but it doesn't improve that much. So a tremendous impact on their body composition at calving, on their, you know, on their pregnancy rate. Rather than maybe separating them and manage them so they don't have reproductive failure, let them fail, and by doing so over time, you know, you're gradually selecting for fertility, and obviously there's a pretty strong connection or correlation between body condition and pregnancy rate.
And it's really hard to think about it in this environment, but what about when it comes to culling?
So, yeah, if you first thing you should probably do if you need to cull or you should cull the opens, mm-hmm. let's start with that. And then if you have the opportunity, maybe in a drought year where you need to back off on your stocking rate a little bit, then maybe cull those thin cows, even if they are pregnant, because they're the ones that are most susceptible and telling you that maybe they're not a great match.
That's Oklahoma State Extension Beef Cattle Specialist Dave Lallman. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.